Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Phil Vitale is here, a longtime restaurant critic for the Chicago Tribune, and also he just put out his list, Phil's 50, which is one of the, I mean, it's really a must read if you're interested in restaurants in Chicago, and of course, longtime award-winning critic. Phil, great to have you here, man.
Thanks, Justin.
I feel like, I know you're on John every week, and it's great, but I don't get a chance to talk to you that often, so I'm excited for this conversation.
Cool.
So first, let's talk about James Beard Week. This is something that, you know, maybe 5 years ago, 7 years ago, Chicagoans had no idea was happening, but this has now become a culinary staple for this city.
Yeah, it was, I mean, the first 24 years, every Beard Award was took place in New York City. And 1 year, Chicago kind of pooled its resources and lured the James Beard Foundation out here. And they had so much fun the first year. They signed up for two more. And then we just started, you know, just started making the offers nice and started beating out. There has been competition. There have been other cities that tried very hard to get this awards away from Chicago and in their town. Yeah. And so far, they have not succeeded.
Well, we were just mentioning this at the top of the show about, you know, there's going to be so many thought pieces about the legacy of Mayor Emanuel.
Mm-hmm.
And it rarely will get down to the level of tourism and some of the other things because there's some big-ticket items that people are going to bounce around. But the James Beard Foundation and the James Beard Awards is a big deal for tourism. Culinary tourism has become all the rage. And for the mayor to be able to sneak that out of New York City and fend off all the other cities, that's got to be considered a plus.
It's absolute plus. And I know the restaurant community was looking at this last mayoral election with considerable trepidation. Like, who's coming in? Do they support us as much as Rahm did? And the answer, of course, is nobody is going to support the restaurant community to the extent that Rahm Emanuel did. But we're hoping that, you don't get just tell Beard, hey, why don't you come here? And they say, yeah, sure, okay. You're making guarantees in terms of how much advertising money or sponsorship money you're able to provide and making everything nice. I remember the first year when James Beard people came here because I was on the awards committee at the time. And they hit Chicago, and they got to O'Hare, and there were banners in the airport. Welcome, James Beard Foundation. And Rahm showed up at the gala to give an award, and Governor Rauner showed up at the gala to give an award. And one of the Beard officials told me that in that first year, they had met with more state and local officials in Chicago than they had in the previous 24 years in New York City, where JBF was another nice convention.
And you could see, I mean, obviously, when you talk about the culinary industry and what's happened in the last decade, maybe even longer, but just in the past decade, it has become tourism for the city of Chicago. So there is a benefit to bring the James Beard here, and you see it each time they come through town.
And you see it the way the restaurants behave, because this weekend is going to be a kind of nonstop floating party from one restaurant to another, and that's going to be true on Sunday especially, and also on Monday after the gala is over. Chicago throws a party like few other cities can even hope to, and for people who are into the food community and get into some of those parties, and there are a number of them that are open to the public. We have them listed on ChicagoTribune.com, and yeah, you get to rub elbows with important chefs and all these cool things going on, and it's great. It's a lot of fun.
In your career, you've seen the rise of the celebrity chef. You've seen the Food Network take over, and you've seen Chicago become the culinary capital of the world in the last 5-10 years. There's been some doubt whether or not Chicago can continue that, or if in a way that it's jumped the shark, if you will. Do you see that? Do you see that Chicago still retains that mantle being the culinary capital, or is it fluid? Is it move from city to city and place to place, and that was yesterday's news?
I think by nature it's fluid. I don't see anytime in the foreseeable future in which Chicago will not be part of that conversation. You can argue, oh, San Francisco's on the rise, or L.A., which kind of is on the rise, and these other cities, but the stick that they're being measured against is Chicago, and Chicago will continue to define the debate, and that's all you can really ask for. That we're that important that other cities are shooting at us.
Isn't that amazing?
They want to be like us. We want what we have, and so. But Chicago still remains such an incubator of talent, such a draw from out of town talent. One of my new entries on my list is a Japanese restaurant by a chef who's supremely successful in Austin, Texas, but he wants to be more of a name. And he said, "I can't get that in Austin. I got to come here." And he said, "Chicago ticked all my boxes, and that's why I am here now." And he came, and among other things, the Chicago restaurant community, and particularly the guests, the public, the people who actually spend money at these restaurants, are considered among them. It's considered one of the most open-minded markets. They will take a chef at his or her premise and then decide whether it's good. Some of the towns, mentioning nothing by name in New York, and is that there's a certain arms crossed. Let's see, you know,
skepticism,
before,
right?
I don't want to commit to liking something and look foolish if not everybody likes it.
Right.
There's that sort of reserve, that sort of arm's length thing. Chicago is more embracing.
What made Chicago really become one of the best culinary towns in the world was there were a lot of creative chefs. There were a lot of creative restaurants that came up and doing things different. I think of, you know, number one, of course, Alinea and Grant Ackett's and Nick Aconis and company. But I think of also some of the other restaurants that continue to be creative as you get to a point where now you are the top.
Right.
You are Chicago. Is it tougher for newer chefs to come in and be creative and take risks because the rents and the property is more expensive? The consumers have so many options. So is it the thing that made Chicago the capital of the culinary world? Can it continue to do that with new and upcoming names?
Well, the economics definitely changing. Landlords want more money for some reason. Farmers want more money for some reason. Costs keep going up, and now we're facing a sea change in the way restaurant workers want to be compensated. And with the rising minimum wage, it's not that minimum wage will affect restaurants that directly, but it does mean that if you want to hire a good person. And that person said, well, I can bust my hump in this place for $15 an hour, or I can do this kind of easy job, and they have to give me $15 an hour, too. That's going to raise, and at some point, it's coming. There will be a reckoning, and Chicago, the dining public, is going to have to decide just what they'll support and at what level.
And I want, at the end of the day, that's the conversation, because it seems just anecdotally from my experience, restaurants that used to be considered second tier or might be part of a wave or a trend, they're more expensive than some of the stuff that used to be appointment, where you would walk in the door and say, this is going to be such a special, I'm willing to part with $500 or whatever it might be. Now it just seems like every restaurant's at that level.
Exactly. And also the quality of product is as good as it's ever been. And someone was, I remember a restaurant, must have been 15 years ago, they were opening up and their PR person was saying, one of their selling points is they are going to have the lowest sushi prices in town. And I said, I don't want to save that much money on sushi. Okay, I want some assurances that
that's what I'll pay money for.
That minimal quality has been met. If I go into a restaurant and they have a veal chop and it's $17, I'm thinking, okay, I'm not sure it was even I'm not sure it's actually veal at this point. I have to think about this. Good food costs money, and we need it, people. And Chicagoans have had it so good for so long in terms of. Our restaurant prices have been really, really, really low.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about Phil's 50, the twice-yearly list that comes out about the most intriguing and interesting restaurants in Chicago. That's coming up here on the John Williams Show. Phil Vitel, of course, restaurant critic over at the Chicago Tribune, joins us Wednesdays here. So let's take a break. We'll come back and continue. Stay with us. 847 Jill. Thank you, Jill. She says, as an avid listener, please pronounce the word picture. That's right. Phil, that's my one area, that's my one weakness. It's the one word. I'm Mary Sandberg on the morning show. She always makes fun of me. I say pitcher.
Huh?
I don't know what the difference is, but it's in my brain. I can't get over it.
I say, did they understand what you said?
They understood what I
said. Well, they understood what you said then.
But I thank you, Jill, for pointing it out and to try and give me the phonetic way to say the word that might help me in the future.
That's right.
Sure.
I would like a picture, please.
Sure. Phil Patel's here. He's the restaurant critic for the Chicago Tribune. His Phil's 50 is out today. 13 new faces. You do this twice a year.
Yeah.
And this is tough because there's so many restaurants in Chicago. To pick 50 is hard, but you have to cycle in new faces because new restaurants open up.
Yeah, that's, as I said, this is the list that makes 50 friends and 150 enemies, at least. And I try to say these are not the best restaurants in Chicago necessarily, because I try to do a mix of price ranges and geography when I can, and styles. Otherwise, it would be like nothing but tweezer food for the first 9-10 names.
Tweezer food.
And then I put in how many steakhouses could you put in? All of them, probably, at least half of them, and I don't want it to be that much moo cow going on, so I keep like maybe 2, maybe 3 steakhouses maximum, and that's a numbers game, and you have to throw people out. But I understand at the same time, people look at this and say, these are the best.
Right. So anything that's ranked.
Right.
Is going to say this.
And that, yeah, there's no escaping that, but that's all right. And that's another reason why I try to share the love, cycle in some new faces, cycle out some people who have been in there a while, take a look at places that haven't been around. I mean, I put in Le Nomade for the first time, and they're 30 years old.
Yeah,
so
right.
It's not just that I'm chasing the new and shiny. I'm just trying to find excellence where I can find it and put it out there.
Le Nomade is a great restaurant, and it's fun to see that they put it on there, because that's such a little... It somehow continues in such a stretch there,
right.
Just like so much building and everything.
I know. I sat in there. I hadn't been there in a long time, and I sat down with my wife, and I just sat and said, I am so incredibly comfortable here right now. I haven't had any food or anything, but I'm digging the vibe. I'm digging the quiet. I'm digging how perfectly tasteful, even though nothing's brand new in here. It's just everything just, there's so much thought, evidence in everything you see there. And I'm just, everyone's complaining about loud restaurants. Okay, spend a few more bucks, go there.
Who are some of the new faces that have made the list this year?
Well, I mentioned Kyoten earlier, that Japanese place. The guy came up from Austin. Avec, I put on there. They're 15 years old, so maybe overdue. Jung, which is the Korean American place out in West Town. They're killing it. I've been out there twice already, and this is the
couple that had the
Hanbun in Westmont,
right?
In a strip mall in Westmont, and they were good enough. But he's got major culinary training in the background.
Right.
Mickey and Judy putting on a show, and they just happen to be semi good at it. No, these are well trained.
That's what we want. That's what we want. We want this.
Isn't that a surprise success story when it's out of nowhere you
from
get
the
these
strip
great
mall
things.
To West
exactly,
Island.
Exactly. And Bar Sotno, which is the basement bar beneath Frontera Grill, where Rick Bayless's daughter Elaney is finally making a name for herself, and that's just this coolest place. Not very many spaces, but I love it. Brondi, which I should have put in there probably a year ago, but they, as long as there was Brondi and Naha, both restaurants owned by the Nahabedians, I had Naha as my favorite, and I kind of pushed Brondi off to the side to make room for other people, but now I got no excuse, so Brondi gets in. Brondi gets in. I threw in Virtue, which is down in Hyde Park with Eric Williams, who was the head chef at MK for many, many years, and then they lost that place in a landlord dispute, so he opened his own place down in Hyde Park. And just
there has been, when you talk about neighborhoods, and you think about, you know, we mentioned Hyde Park, West Town, some other areas, there has been such a push with so much about Logan Square just in the last couple of years about how great that has become as a culinary destination, bars and restaurants. Do you see in your head a neighborhood that's popping up that you're like, oh, I don't usually see restaurants in this area, but more and more people are moving there?
Well, west of Western Avenue, you're seeing a lot, but also south of Logan Square. So say Western Avenue, west of... say Chicago Avenue, west of Western. Suddenly we're seeing places like Split Rail, and we're getting kind of good restaurants in there, and people are pushing their way out westward and gentrifying neighborhoods, and then there are issues raised with that that would be a whole other discussion.
Right. Restaurants seem to come part and parcel with gentrification.
Sure, because they can get in, they can get a 10-year lease at a price that they will never see again as long as they live.
Right. All right, what do you got at the top of the list? I mean, obviously, it continues to ebb and flow, but you have some mainstays that stay around at top 10 all the time.
Yeah, my top 10 has... I shifted a few numbers around, but Alinea stays number one. It's arguably the best restaurant in the nation, depending on what you think about, 11 Madison Park and Cezanne and things like that. Smith is at number two, where it was last time out. I boosted Oriole from number six to number three after a spectacular meal I had there about 2 weeks ago. Topolobampo sitting steady at four. Boca up from 11, now is number five. That's become one of my favorite restaurants. I like everything
about
that
place. That whole restaurant group is, and they will be featured prominently at the James Beard, but they, I mean, that restaurant group has seen so much success over the last couple of years.
Those two guys, Kevin Baim and Rob Katz, are up for Outstanding Restaurateur of the Year again. I think this is their sixth time as nominee. I hope so. I mean, to put it in perspective, it took Rich Melman seven times on that ballot before he finally knocked
it. Rich Melman, right.
The Rich Melman. So sometimes it does. Bruce Sherman was on the ballot for 6 years before he became Outstanding Regional Chef here. Mindy Siegel was on the ballot, I think, 6 or 7 years before she became Outstanding Pastry Chef. Sometimes it takes a while, because there's a lot of competition, and you can't even look at who they lost to originally and say, what the heck was that? These were all super talented people. But I'm really, really hoping that this is their year. They've been waiting a while, and you look at their body of work and how they have so many different, distinctly different personality type restaurants, how they are working with such, how they've assembled such a stable of top quality chefs and somehow managed to keep that many egos in balance, which can't be easy.
It can't be.
And, you know, they don't have the kind of efficiencies of scale you think of certain big chains where they have one commissary putting out all the veal parmesans. It doesn't matter where you go, get it. No.
They're all different.
Yeah. Right. Kevin said, I can't get them to agree on napkins, much less one source for any one food item, right? So it's... Right. What they're doing is extraordinary. I hope to heck they get recognized for
it. You can find the Phil's 50 on chicagotribune.com today. Mm-hmm. And of course, any of the James Beard parties that are open to the public as well for the weekend.
Right. Just put a /dining after .com and then you'll find it.
All set. And of course, you'll have James Beard coverage Monday night as the James Beard.
Yeah, we'll probably be putting stuff out live online and Twitter. And then we'll have some kind of wrap up on Tuesday morning.
I love it. Phil Vitale, Chicago Tribune restaurant critic. Great to have you here.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next week.
All righty.